You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
An elephant-sized acquisition is still something that Warren Buffett is eyeing, even as his company, Berkshire Hathaway, registered its worst annual performance in nearly two decades. In what has become a globally anticipated bulletin, Buffett discusses the Berkshire Hathaway business and also delivers what he believes to be his guiding principles to investing. Naturally, millions around the world wait eagerly for the words of the investment maven. The Oracle of Omaha delivering his gospel is an event all worshippers of capitalism listen to with a religious fervor. And he did not disappoint this year either. A few key takeaways from his newsletter are what we bring to you on our Pick of the Day. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
How to create wealth Warren Buffett style.
Warren Buffett, in his folksy, no-nonsense style, had something for everyone in this year's newsletter. He said, and I quote, "Even at our ages of 88 and 95, I'm the young one, that prospect of an elephant-sized acquisition is what causes my heart and Charlie's to beat faster," Buffett said, referring, of course, to Charlie Munger, the vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway. Acquisitions based on solid fundamentals is the name of the game in Buffett's books, as we all know, and it has always been that way. Not one to predict stock market patterns, Buffett said, and I quote, "My expectation of more stock purchases is not a market call. Charlie and I have no idea as to how stocks will behave next week or next year. Predictions of that sort have never been a part of our activities. Our thinking, rather, is focused on calculating whether a portion of an attractive business is worth more than its market price," unquote. This tactic that Buffett is known for is called, as we all know, value investing. Value investors seek out stock that they believe to be undervalued in the market. Aside from reiterating the importance of value investing, Buffett also appeared to be taking a swipe at President Donald Trump, whose penchant to claim all the credit for the nation's economic growth is only too well known. Buffett, in the letter, wrote, and I quote, "It is beyond arrogance for American businesses or individuals to boast that they have done it alone," unquote. He also took a veiled shot at the America First principle of Donald Trump, suggesting that isolationism was not conducive to American growth. "There are also many other countries around the world that have bright futures," he said. "About that, we should rejoice. Americans will be both more prosperous and safer if all nations thrive. At Berkshire, we hope to invest significant sums across borders," unquote. Berkshire ended 2018 with $172.8 billion of equities, but many of these suffered double-digit price declines in the quarter, including a 30% slide in its largest holding, iPhone maker Apple. Reuters reported that those declines were a major factor in Berkshire's huge quarterly loss and its 91% drop in full-year net income to $4.02 billion from $44.94 billion the previous year, when it benefited from a lower corporate tax rate. Accounting rules require Berkshire to report unrealized stock gains and losses with net income, causing huge quarterly swings that Buffett says are usually meaningless. Operating profit in the quarter totaled $5.72 billion, topping analyst forecast, and for the year rose 71% to $24.78 billion. Results were also hurt by $3.02 billion write-down for intangible assets that Buffett said was almost entirely attributable to Kraft Heinz, in which Berkshire owns a 26.7% stake. The packaged food company on Thursday shocked investors when it reported a $15.4 billion write-down for Kraft, Oscar Mayer, and other assets, slashed its dividend, and said the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission was examining its accounting practices. Buffett's letter was finished clearly a while ago and could not have predicted the worst trouble brewing in Kraft Heinz, but he did perhaps allude to it when he said, and I quote, "A few of our trees are diseased and unlikely to be around a decade from now," unquote. He did, however, comfort his shareholders, saying, and I quote, "Fortunately, it's not necessary to evaluate each tree individually to make a rough estimate of Berkshire's intrinsic business value." He was, of course, comparing Berkshire to a forest and not to confuse the trees for the forest. He continued, "That's because our forest contains five groves of major importance, each of which can be appraised with reasonable accuracy in its entirety," unquote. Kshitij Anand, writing for Money Control, wrote about the key takeaways from the letter. So let's run through that list of seven takeaways. Number one, diversification of businesses. These are, of course, takeaways, the rules, so to speak, to create wealth. The first one, diversification of business. This is one age-old principle which is relevant for all businesses that are looking for growth. Investors who evaluate Berkshire sometimes obsess on the details of many diverse businesses, also known as economic trees, as Buffett said in the newsletter. Analysis of that type can be mind-numbing, Given that Berkshire owns a vast array of specimens ranging from twigs to redwoods, Buffett in the newsletter said that a few of our trees, their trees that is, referring to the diversity in the business, are diseased, like I said, and unlikely to be around for a decade from now, but many others, though, are destined to grow in size and beauty. The ones destined to not live too long, as we know now, could be something like Kraft Heinz, and those destined to grow in size and beauty could well be American Express, Apple and Amazon, in which Buffett has a lot of investment. Apart from equity portfolio, Berkshire held $102 billion at year-end in U.S. Treasury bills and other cash equivalents and another $20 billion in miscellaneous fixed income instruments. Berkshire considers a portion of that stash to be untouchable, having pledged to always hold at least $20 billion in cash equivalents to guard against external calamities. So that's number one, the number one rule to make wealth: diversification of business. Next up, buy ably managed businesses. Even for Indian markets, most analysts focus on the management pedigree, which is the most important ingredient of any company which could give consistent returns or creates value over a period of time. Consistency is the key to wealth creation. Buffett also highlighted that Berkshire looks to buy ably managed businesses in whole or part that possess favorable and durable economic characteristics. He said, and I quote, "We also need to make these purchases at sensible prices. Sometimes we can buy control of companies that meet our tests." Unquote. Charlie and Buffett believe that companies in which they have invested offer excellent value, far exceeding that available in takeover transactions. Next up, investment horizon. If you're looking to create wealth, then patience as well as stock selection is the key. Berkshire's equity investments were worth nearly $173 billion at year-end, an amount far above their cost. If the portfolio had been sold at its year-end valuation, federal income tax of about $14.7 billion would have been payable on the gain. In all likelihood, we will hold most of these stocks for a long time, said the note to shareholders. Our investees, said Buffett, paid us dividends of $3.8 billion last year, a sum that will increase in 2019. Far more important than the dividends, though, are the huge earnings that are annually retained by these companies, unquote. He also had something to say about blindly buying an overpriced stock and calling it value destructive. Warren Buffett was one of the key individuals who promoted the concept of value investing, like we spoke about earlier. In his letter, he said blindly buying an overpriced stock is value destructive, a fact lost on many promotional or ever optimistic CEOs. When a company says that it contemplates repurchases, it's vital that all shareholder partners be given the information they need to make an intelligent estimate of value. He went on to say, and I quote, "We do not want a partner to sell shares back to the company because he or she has been misled or inadequately informed," unquote. If it's okay for the boss to cheat a little, it then becomes easy for the subordinates to rationalize similar behavior. Warren Buffett always emphasized value, both quantitatively as well as qualitatively. Berkshire does not give estimates or pay heed to what the street is expecting because this is one step which could result in unethical behavior. He said in the letter, and I quote, "Charlie and I over the years have seen all sorts of bad corporate behavior, both accounting and operational, induced by the desire of management to meet Wall Street expectations," unquote. What starts as an innocent fudge in order to not disappoint the street, say trade loading at quarter end, turning a blind eye to rising insurance losses, or drawing down a cookie jar reserve, can become the first step toward full-fledged fraud. He went on to say, and I quote, "Playing with numbers just this once may well be the CEO's intent. It's seldom the end result. And if it's okay for the boss to cheat a little, it's easy for subordinates to rationalize similar behavior," the letter went on to say. Buffett is still looking for an elephant-sized acquisition, but there is no target. The disappointing reality is that 2019 will likely see Berkshire again expanding their holdings of marketable equities. "We continue," Buffett said, "nevertheless, to hope for an elephant-sized acquisition. Even at our ages of 88 and 95, that prospect is what causes my and Charlie's heart to beat faster," he went on to say. Magical metal, that's gold, was no match for the American metal. He went on to say, those who believe in theories in gloom and doom would have bought gold, but that might not have resulted in value creation. Hence, investors should look for stocks instead of gold, said Buffett. Continuing, he went on to say, those who regularly preach doom because of government budget deficits might note that our country's national debt has increased roughly 400-fold during the last of my 77-year periods. That's almost 40,000%. Suppose you had foreseen this increase and panicked at the prospect of runaway deficits and a worthless currency to protect yourself, you might have eschewed stock and opted instead to buy 3.25 ounces of gold with your $114.75, unquote. So the $114.75 that he's referring to is, of course, the money that he invested as an 11-year-old. And he went on to say that if he had invested in a no-fee S&P 500 index fund and all dividends had been reinvested, his stake would have grown from $114.75 to $606,811 as of the 31st of January 2019. And that is a gain of $5,288.41. And if people who preach gloom and doom and suggest instead that you buy gold, if you had bought gold for those $114.75, you would have been left with gold that in today's money would have been worth about $4,200, which is less than 1% of what you might have gained if you had invested in American business. So that's Buffett saying the magical metal was no match for the American metal.
Editors, pick of the day.
How to create wealth Warren Buffett style.
And finally, he went on to talk about the great American tailwind and spoke of how, in terms of the nation's accounting, the comparable term is savings and how Americans have saved. He went on to say, if our forefathers had instead consumed all they produced, there would have been no investment, no productivity gains, and no leap in living standards. Over the next 77 years, however, the major source of our gains will almost certainly be provided by the American tailwind. We are lucky, gloriously lucky, to have that force at our back, unquote.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.